enrollment begins November 24th. That's open enrollment for Henry Ford Community College's 2011 winter semester, online now at hfcc.edu or on campus beginning Wednesday, November 24th.
This is Alex from the Left of the Dial radio program, wishing you the best this holiday season and happy 25th anniversary, WHFR.
The 5101 Restaurant is Henry Ford Community College's innovative on-campus dining experience. The restaurant is operated by students and staff of HFCC's Hospitality Studies program and offers a learning experience for the students combined with a delicious and affordable meal for you. The 5101 is open Tuesday through Thursday from 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Wednesday and Thursday evenings from 6 p.m. to 7:45. Reservations are suggested and can be made at 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. See you soon at HFCC's 5101 Restaurant.
Hi, I'm the Jumper, the host of Southern Blues After Midnight. To everyone in the sound of my voice, happy holidays to you and your family.
Honey, I'm home. I've got a surprise for you.
Get that filthy, disgusting tire out of my living room. You're on my favorite rug.
Calm down. You're going to love this.
What? Whoa. The goldfish bowl.
I won't run over them. Relax.
You roll that tire right back out of here.
Relax. It's all part of my master plan to save us money.
This is not going to be our coffee table. Don't even think about putting a piece of glass on top.
No, honey. This is a reminder to keep our tires properly inflated so we can save money on gas.
Can't we just tie a string around our fingers?
Sweetie, properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
Exactly. To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
What's wrong with a sticky note on the dashboard?
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too, at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Hey, let's put the sticky note on the tire.
You need metal?
Hey, bro, you got any melodic metalcore?
No! You need metal?
Yes, can you guys play any modern power metal?
You need metal!
Hey, baby, y'all play any meow rock?
I'm Mike Tough, and I'm Jay Priest, and if you're in need of some actual metal, then be sure to check in on Mondays from 6 to 9 for Dark Recollections. Only on 89.3 WHFR.FM. The only station that is...
making waves!
And we are making waves here from the beautiful campus of Henry Ford Community College. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. My name is Kristen, and usually at this time on the fourth Tuesday of the month, you would be hearing Impact, which is a public affairs talk program that interviews a nonprofit organization. However, at this time, I have decided that we are going to have a three-hour special. Because unfortunately, we are not able to have Jimmy with his wonderful show coming in from 2 to 4 called Floating in a Tin Can. So I decided to come up with something a little bit here on the creative side for the holiday season. Since it is being celebrated throughout the entire world, we're going to have some talk and some music here for the next 3 hours, focusing on a couple of things that during the holiday season we give as gifts, we consume ourselves, and sometimes indulge in a little bit too much. So for the first part of this three-hour show here, which we're just going to call Food and Music, we are going to be focusing on chocolate. After all, what would the holiday season be without chocolate? Lord knows I have had my fair share in the last couple of weeks, and something that I'm sure all of our treadmills will be groaning about in the next week to come, because isn't that what we do? We indulge in chocolate and wine, and then we curse ourselves and decide we need to lose everything that we just ate. So, but for the first bit here, we're going to be focusing on chocolate, and then I'll be moving into wine. And I have these wonderful world CDs, since we do this all around the world. I have these world CDs that are going to be helping me along with some wonderful world music for you to listen to in different countries that have a lot to do with the production of chocolate or wine. And like I said, we're starting with chocolate. And let's do a little bit of history here first with chocolate. Once again, you are listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. We have history of chocolate that dates way back to 2000 BC in the Amazon. Okay, the cocoa from which chocolate is created, it has originated in the Amazon at least, 4,000 years ago. And in the 6th century of AD, of course, chocolate was derived from the seed of the cocoa tree, which actually, technically, it's not the cocoa tree, it's the cacao tree. A lot of people always just say cocoa, but it's actually the cacao tree, excuse me. And the cocoa actually refers to the fruit and seeds of the tree. So there's a little bit, and of course they have to be spelled so similarly to each other that it does cause for some confusion. But it was first used by the Maya culture as early as 6th century AD, and they called this tree the cacahuacuiti tree. And the word chocolate actually comes from the Maya word excotai, which means bitter water. And the reason why it was called bitter water is because they didn't have the refining process that we have today. So actually, in its first early stages, it was very bitter. It was not used as, something you indulge in on a Saturday night after your boyfriend's broken up with you and you have nothing else to do but watch movies and indulge in chocolate and ice cream. So it wasn't as sweet as that. But the Mayas used the cocoa pods to symbolize life and fertility. Nothing was more important in that culture at that time than, of course, just life and fertility. And stones from their palaces and temples revealed many, many, many carved pictures of cocoa pods. So then, in that Mayan culture, moving from Central America to the northern portions of South America, the Mayan territory stretched from the Yucatan Peninsula to the Pacific coast of Guatemala. And they cultivated the earliest known cocoa plantations. So there's a little bit of history how that kind of came along. The cocoa pod was often represented in religious rituals, and the texts or literature referred to cocoa as the god's food. Which, wow, how how wonderful is that? The god's food. It has to be. It has to be from heaven because it's just so sinful. Came right off that tree. But anyway, chocolate has impacted the ways in which, they worshipped and expressed their values. And we still do that today. We express our values and not that I'm saying we're going around worshipping chocolate, although I do. But we definitely do give chocolate as a value. It's a gift. It's things we give throughout the holiday season. So I'm going to play for you a piece of music here from one of the cocoa regions. And this is the group Toto Bono Lucao. And they're bringing together two of Africa's most creative musicians and a respected performer of the French Caribbean heritage, Richard Bona. And this is Lisanga. This comes from the Martinique area in Africa, and they had cocoa plantations there in Martinique in the 1660s after chocolate became very, very popular among the French elite, which we haven't gotten to that in our history yet, but I'm going to go through that with you a little bit. And then today, Cameroon, part of Martinique, it's one of the world's top growers of cacao. And, despite the civil unrest that has happened there over several years and in the past, the Congo is actually reemerging as an important exporter as well of the chocolate. So here we are with Toto Bono Lukau and Lisanga here on the station Making Waves 89.3 WHFR.FM.
Tava manete na zopot Amaro bobie sa tango y palano Senano bandise la
Patrukuno ne tende le mbaka Patruko mbuto Palateke bieto luto Patanembe kuto luto Palateke kuto luto Patake uto vodo Palateke kuto luto
Silly boy, we live a night. We may not walk in. We live with some I allow you for the life of the world.
Samadana Beda Danda Chatura Sati Deva jagra no kata foga na kamlechi lanka jiudire suna bakanjenya suna riba bintu sara kinkunkiri kadaos sikeresa kutimijemya
eta bumara lento bagabal Nata saho taruni raju jaisi raka khatam jaisi TV tyaga
You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and this is Food and Music, a 3-hour special we have today with a focus on the celebration of two of the items through the holiday seasons that are definitely very, very dominant in our cooking, our giving, our eating, and our drinking, and that is chocolate and wine. And the first half of the show, we are focusing on chocolate. You just heard music from Sushila Raman, and that was Sarasa. She actually has ties to India, and we, while tea and coffee have been grown in India for generations, cacao is a relatively new crop there. It's only been commercially cultivated since, I know this may not seem relatively new to you, but it really is in the history of chocolate, which we're going to get back to in just a moment. But it's only been commercially cultivated there since the 1960s. It's grown primarily in the southern states of Kerala, Karnataka, and Tamil Nadu. Now, getting back a little bit here to the history, we were talking about the Mayan culture and chocolate and what it meant to them. Well, that was, we left off there around 600 AD. Well, moving into 1200 here, we have the Aztec culture. And the Aztecs attributed the creation of the cacao plant to their god Quetzalcoatl, which is, you know, if you, he's kind of a dragon-like figure, who descended from heaven on a beam of a morning star carrying a cacao tree stolen from paradise. So even then, they considered this to be just so, well, paradise. They, you know, says it right there. But in both the Mayan and Aztec cultures, cacao was the basis for a thick, cold, unsweetened drink called Xocoltal. They believed it to be a health elixir. It was very bitter. And since sugar was, of course, unknown to the Aztecs, but they did put different spices to add flavor. They would even add hot chili peppers and cornmeal to even, I guess, bring out that natural cocoa flavor. I don't know if you've ever had had raw cocoa. It's very, very bitter. Very bitter. Definitely not not what you're out there giving to other people. I actually, not too long ago, had the pleasure of somebody giving me some Mexican chocolate, which was actually very, very unrefined, but unrefined to a point to where the first few bites I had of it, it was kind of, whoa, I'm not quite so sure about this. But once your taste buds got used to the spices that were mixed in with this more traditional chocolate, it was absolutely wonderful. So give it a chance. If anybody brings that up to you, give it a chance. Don't let that first initial taste that you're getting kind of get away from you there. You just gotta leave your taste buds to the fact that of what we're used to right now. The Aztecs believed that wisdom and power came from eating the fruit of the cacao tree, and also that it had nourishing, fortifying, and even aphrodisiac qualities. And of course, chocolate has always been synonymous with love. Even in today, we give chocolates for people, you know, for the holidays. I love you for Valentine's Day, whatever you, you know, it's there all over the place. The Aztec Emperor Moctezuma drank thick chocolate dyed red. The drink was so prestigious that it was served in golden goblets that were thrown away after only one use. He liked it so much that he was purported to drink 50 goblets every day. 50 goblets of this kind of a more so unrefined dyed red chocolate drink, which I would have to guess, because it doesn't say in the information that I've researched here, that I have to guess it, you know, signifies some sort of blood or something, or, you know, whatever. But 50 goblets every day, that is crazy, I think. I can't imagine drinking 50 goblets. But anyway, cocoa beans were also used as currency in the Aztec culture. Records show that 400 cocoa beans equaled one zontil, while 8,000 beans equaled exquipibili. I don't speak Aztec well, sorry. When the Aztecs conquered tribes, they demanded their payment in cocoa from the, you know, cacao tree. They just were like, hey, give us you know, cocoa beans here. But they strengthened their supremacy in Mexico because of this, and records dating from 1200 show details of cacao deliveries imposed on all conquered tribes. So this was some serious stuff. This was a form of money, a form of love, a form of power, a form of divineness. There is so much history to this food. There's, of course, history to a lot of food, but this food in particular. So I'm going to move into a couple more songs here that are from the Chocolate Lands. By the way, the songs that I'm playing are from the Putumayo Presents Music from the Chocolate Land CD. Highly recommend this CD to anybody. I love the music as well as the information that is provided within this CD. But we're going to move on here to an artist who is known as Marcantonio. And this is Sabia. Marcantonio is originally from Araquara, a small town in the Brazilian state of Sao Paulo. And here's your little chocolate fact for this one. Cacao grows wild in the Amazon rainforest, where some believe it originated. And then Brazil began growing the plant commercially in 1677 after a royal decree issued by the Portuguese crown. It is now one of the world's top cacao producers, although most of the crop is used for local consumption. Don't blame them. Don't blame them at all. So once again, you're listening to a food and music holiday special here on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm your host, Corinne, and we will be together until 4 o'clock enjoying the history, facts, and little tidbits about chocolate and wine, two of the most holidays' biggest food and drink consumptions. So enjoy the music.
Todo mundo do psiu, perguntando pro meu bem. Tendo o coração vazio, vivo assim, ó, da psiu, sabiá, vem cá também. A todo mundo do psiu, perguntando pro coração vazio, vivo assim, a dapsinha, sabiá, vem cá também. Tu que anda pelo mundo, tu que tanto já voou, tu que fala aos passarinhos, alivia minha dor. Tem pena de
sombre pa din pa mele o haïtien rassemble nous tout concerné pour ça pas bon pour ça pas bien passé c'est nous tout caprié. Fok li leve an mwe Pal monan Mwen pa mouni sato Le bon dire le kwa
listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And this is a three-hour special called Food and Music, where we have combined talk and music just for this week during the holiday season. Usually Impact is on at this time, a talk show about a nonprofit organization. And following that, we usually have Floating in a Tin Can with your host, Jimmy, who is unable to do that today as well. So my name is Kristen, your host for the until 4 o'clock, and we are talking about two of the food and I guess you would say drinks here that are celebrated during the holiday season. Chocolate right now is our focus, and then we're going to move into wine in the second half of this program, which, please, of course, we do not encourage the overconsumption of alcoholic beverages here at 89.3. So please do drink responsibly throughout the holiday season. Very, very important. And whatever you do, please do not drink and drive over the holiday season. That is not okay. Well, we were just listening to Beethoven Oba with Ransemble. And I really enjoyed that piece. He is, Beethoven Obas is the son of an influential Haitian painter who was actually executed for his political views. And Obas is one of Haiti's most celebrated contemporary musicians. So where is the tie here with chocolate? Well, during the early days of Spanish and French colonialism, Haiti was actually one of the region's biggest cacao growers. So today, most of the cacao is grown on small family farms there, which of course, though, unfortunately, many of those small family farms were devastated by the earthquake that they are still recovering from and still trying to rebuild, well, basically their entire country from that earthquake. We're going to take a quick break here for some public service announcements, and then I will be right back after that to give you a little bit more history. We left off, we touched the Mayan and the Aztec culture, and then we're going to move into Columbus and Europe with the history of chocolate. And then later on, we'll be moving into some fun health benefits and little facts about chocolate as well. So don't go away. Stick with me. Having a lot of fun here, letting you know all about one of my most favorite divine foods, which is chocolate. Be right back.
Hi, I'm the Jumper, the host of Southern Blues After Midnight. To everyone in the sound of my voice, happy holidays to you and your family.
Hi, this is Pat Frisco from the Spirits Rejoice radio program. with another thought to consider. The creative artist has always worked outside the box. The truly creative artist has a unique perspective, a unique voice. Their works of art go beyond what a painting is supposed to look like, or a jazz or classical piece is supposed to sound like. As a result, these artists are often overlooked, underpaid, or totally neglected. Just look across the radio dial. But these artists always have a home at WHFR. You can tune into Spirits Rejoice Tuesdays from 6 to 10 p.m. or many of our other fine radio programs here at 89.3 WHFR Dearborn.
Hey, true believers, let me tell you about this amazing, incredible, fantastic graphic design program at Henry Ford Community College. This college offers 5 certificate programs in this wonderful area of graphic design, like animation, illustration, multimedia design, print design, and web design, as well as an associate's in arts degree in graphic design. Classes are available during fall, winter, spring, and summer semesters. For more information, contact Graphic Design Department at 313-845-6487. Excelsior!
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty, it's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
This bobcat's heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Hey, this is JMO.
This is Chris.
This is Hoos.
This is Rob.
This is Etta. We are This Last Breath.
And you're listening to the only radio station making waves,
WHFR.
And in my last breath, I will be saying, give me chocolate. You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm your host, Kristen, for this 3-hour special of food and music. And we are focusing on a little bit of talk history here of chocolate in the first half of this show. And before the break there, I told you I'd be giving you a little bit more history before we played some more music from the CD Music from the Chocolate Lands, which is an excellent CD. However, I want to give you a joke because this is really, really funny and just so appropriate. Are you ready? A man found a bottle on the beach. He opened it and out popped a genie who gave the man 3 wishes. The man wished for $1 million and poof, there was $1 million. Then he wished for a convertible and poof, there was a convertible. And then he wished he could be irresistible to all women. Poof, he turned into a box of chocolates. I love it. I absolutely loved it because I don't know any women who can resist a box of chocolates. So perhaps that's why we are giving them so much during the holidays. So don't complain about us gaining a few pounds then because you're constantly feeding us chocolate. All right. So let's get back to our chocolate history that we were talking about. And I said we were going to move into Columbus. Of course, in 1492, everyone knows that Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Of course, there's some discrepancy in history there, but still. But he actually returned, of course, from the Americas. And King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella were presented with many strange and wonderful things. And the actual few dark brown beans that look like almonds really didn't get a lot of attention. They didn't see the value in the, you know, the cocoa beans. So in 1502, Columbus landed in Nicaragua. Well, on his fourth voyage to America, he was the first European to discover cocoa beans being used as currency and to make a drink. Well, of course, this is because, you know, he's in Nicaragua. And it was formerly used in the Aztec culture. Well, Columbus, who was still searching for the route to India, still did not see the potential of the cocoa market that had basically fallen into his lap. So here he's brings these beans back, and you know, then he goes and he actually sees them being used as currency and used as a drink, and he just still does not see this value in it. So it's pretty amazing to think that what it is now. So moving along in the history, that was 1502. In 1513, a slave was actually bought for the beans. For 100 cocoa beans, Hermando de Oviedo y Valdez reportedly bought a slave for 100 cocoa beans. So it's crazy that nobody really seemed to see the value in this. If people were willing to use cocoa beans for, you know, purchasing things and all that. He also purchased the services of a lady of the night, and four cocoa beans got him a rabbit dinner. So very, very widely used, but still just used as currency and the very, very bitter drink. But at this time, the name of the drink changed to chocolatl from the Mayan word xocotl and the Aztec word for water or warm liquid. So this is where we're starting to get the name chocolate from at this point. Chocolatl. So in 1519, Hernando Cortez begins a plantation. Hernando Cortez conquered a part of Mexico in 1519, and he had a vision of converting these beans to golden doubloons. So once again, seeing the value, the monetary value here. He was fascinated with Aztec's bitter, spicy beverage, although he didn't like the drink very much. He was fascinated with it and saw the value in it, and he was very much intrigued by the beans' value as currency. Later, Cortez established a cocoa plantation in the name of Spain. Henceforth, money will be cultivated. It was the birth of what was to be a very profitable business. Chocolate just affected many, many cultures and traditions. And obviously, here we're starting to see the mass production of it for profit. There's international, you know, this is international economics here, people. So anyway, he does this plantation in the name of Spain, and they're going to cultivate money, basically, was the plan with these cocoa beans. And Cortez, in 1528, Cortez presented the Spanish king, Charles V, with cocoa beans from the New World and the necessary tools for its preparation. So he basically taught him the thought process here, and, you know, history, we weren't there, but he basically, it's thought that he taught him how to make the drink chocolatl. So then we have, here it is, the major, major breakthrough of chocolate. And, you know, I guess we have to attribute it to Cortez, because Cortez postulated that if this bitter beverage was blended with sugar, it would become quite a delicacy. So the Spaniards mixed the beans with sugar, vanilla, nutmeg, cloves, allspice, cinnamon, which, yum, does that just not sound delicious? And the results were absolutely tantalizing, and it was coveted, it was fashionable, and Spanish nobility just created a demand for the fruits of the Spanish plantations. And chocolate was a secret that Spain actually managed to keep from the rest of the world for almost 100 years. So here Cortez is. He finally decides to drink this bitter beverage with the sugar. And all of Spain is just enamored with this. And they keep it a secret for 100 years. So here Columbus had this, all right, didn't know what to do with it. Nobody seemed to understand what the, you know, what to do with the bean, the fruit. And Cortez and the Spanish just take it and turn it into just this incredible drink. At this point, it's still being a drink. Okay, so we haven't gotten into the whole, box of chocolates that's given to you. So let's move into a little bit of music here that is from the Music from the Chocolate Lands CD. And this is the group Ozomatil. And they were formed in East Los Angeles in the heart of the city's Chicano community. And Ozomatil takes its name from the Aztec god of dance, which, of course, we know how important chocolate was to the Aztecs. After all, it was the Aztecs of Mexico who first introduced the Europeans, as we have found out, to the wonders of chocolate. And chocolate still plays a very important role in Mexican cuisine, which turning up in savory sauces such as mole, which is so good if you've never had that. Maybe I'll touch on that a little bit too. But we'll sit here. Let's sit here and listen to Ozomatli's Aquí No Será. Only here on the station Making Waves, WHFR.
Otra intervención.
Think of One is actually a Belgium group, and they just travel the world looking for new inspirations. But they are based in Antwerp, Belgium, and Paleto actually means jacket, just so you know what they were singing about there. And that was a just absolutely wonderful Brazilian chorus that was going on there behind the jazzy percussion, light percussion going on. But anyway, Belgium is practically synonymous with chocolate. Okay, and there's the tie with the group Think of One. Flanders, the region that is now Belgium and the Netherlands, was part of Spain, which we were just talking about Spain, when chocolate was introduced there in the late 1500s. To this day, the streets of Belgium's cities are dotted with artisanal chocolate shops that sell fine, handcrafted chocolates. And if you have not been to Europe, which obviously can be a lot of people, I have had the pleasure of going to England, but I have relatives that have been basically all over, and they brought back lots of different chocolate from different regions. And you may not realize that it is produced differently. Some of them are sweeter, some of them are a little more bitter. American chocolate is very, very, very sweet compared to chocolate from, say, such Belgium or Germany or something somewhere over in Europe. We definitely really, really like that sweetness going on there. So just to get us a little bit up to speed, we're going to go back to the history after these few short announcements that I will be playing, some PSAs here, and then we'll be back with me here, Kristen, on what I have dubbed called Food and Music, a three-hour special that we are having today in lieu of Impact and Floating in a Tin Can, which is our usual regularly scheduled programming. So if you're tuning in for either of those shows, I do apologize. However, I hope you are enjoying this holiday special that we have going on, where we are focusing on the two things that are given probably the most throughout the holiday season, which are chocolates. And then later on here, approximately around 2:30, I'll be starting to go into wine. So, and the history of that and little fun facts about that as well. So we're going to come back for a little bit more history about chocolate, some more music, as well as some health facts, possible benefits from chocolate, so that it's not all is lost over the holiday season while you mow on all of these cookies, which, by the way, my favorite is the Buckeye. I have to admit, I know people make them all year round, but Christmas, it seems to always be a more prominent time of giving those. And boy, you give me a tin of Buckeyes and they're gone. I'll be right back after this. You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, where the station making waves.
Hi, Pat Frisco here from the Spirits Rejoice program, wishing you a fantastic holiday season.
We are the Universal Temple of Divine Power, and you are listening to WHFR.
Making waves. Making waves.
Making
waves.
Hi, this is Go Mike Holloway reminding all of you loyal listeners to tune in to the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show every Tuesday afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m., right here on WHFR.FM, the station that is always making waves.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the employment outlook for medical insurance specialists is expected to grow above average clear through the year 2014. Henry Ford Community College is prepared to train you in the exciting and lucrative field of healthcare as a medical insurance specialist. For more information, give us a call at 800-585-HFCC.
Think you have what it takes? We do. Henry Ford Community College. Visit us online at hfcc.edu.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself. Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
And I'm back. That's right. This is WHFR Dearborn. We are broadcasting live from the beautiful campus of Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn, Michigan. Hope you are enjoying this music and food three-hour holiday special here, where I am focusing on chocolate at the moment, and we'll be moving into wine later on within this hour. But I am with you until 4 o'clock, so enjoy. All right, as I was saying before the break there, we were